Hare Krishna. Continuing on our Varnashram series, this morning's class here in Ubrajadam, post Janmashtami Vyas Puja festival, was analysis of fifth canto, well-known verse, Punksa Striya Maitani Bhava Maita Taror Mitovarita Grantiyahu Ato Grihakshatra Sutta Aptavata Janasimuhuyam Aham Nameti. I believe it's the eighth verse of the fifth chapter. And our Varnashram strategy, or rather the stated goal of Varnashram, one of the most important stated goals, is to decrease the and regulate the interaction between men and women and the consequences thereof, so that people can actually become free from what is described in this verse as the basic cause of material bondage. Verse starts off that the attraction between male and female is the basic cause of bondage, material bondage. And, of course, we want to be able to bring people to the realization that they need to very actively free themselves from that type of attraction. And that begins by regulation. And therefore, in the Varnashram system, the regulation between the association of opposite sexes is compulsory and very much emphasized. For us, as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to actually set an inspirational example for that, devotees need to really be able to show how they function within the Grihastha ashram, and yet at the same time they are not in the grips of bondage, and increasing bondage, as this verse shows. The process in which that bondage takes place is clearly pointed out here. Punksa Striya, men and women. Dhyayato Visaya Punksa. Krishna explains that. That by association, by contemplation, attachment develops. From that attachment comes union, which described here as maitri, and is generally translated as sex life. And the result of that then is not just children, but the result is griha, house, kshetra, land, sutta, well, those are the children, apta, and obviously you've got relatives, and vritti, and you have wealth. And the result of that, of all of these things, is janasamuhuya maham nameti. It increases the identity that I am this body and that things are mine. And, of course, that I am this body and things are mine, that, again, reinforces the identity, the original bondage or attachment between men and women, and this way it's a perpetuating cycle that increases and increases. It means that people remain bound to this material world. But the whole purpose of Varnashram, and of course the whole purpose of devotees practicing, is liberation. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there's no yoga system that facilitates the Grihastha ashram. They're all meant for pure celibates, whether they be men or women. And the reason being is that, of course, none of those systems give complete liberation. but they give some sense of purification and some sense of liberation from material entanglement. But the prerequisite is that there's no connection whatsoever. The fact that in Bhakti Yoga that connection is there indicates both the strength of Bhakti Yoga, but also indicates how careful devotees must be in the Grihastha ashram. Because while we're conditioned souls, if we associate and that association increases attachment, misplaced attachment, mama, aham, mine and I, towards each other, as husband and wife, family members, and so many other things that come, then rather than becoming liberated, we become attached, and the entanglement just deepens, and we remain here in the material world. So grihasthas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, have especially shown us the path of liberation in the Grihastha ashram, despite the possible risk that's there. And that is that in the balance, if you can just imagine the balance in which one side, by balance I mean the instrument, if you, on one side is the material energy pushing down, and on the other side is spiritual energy pushing down, and that spiritual energy comes from spiritual practice. So as when we're individual brahmacharis, no doubt material energy is pushing, but that pushing increases when we become husband and wife. That pushing increases even more when we become, we have children and so many other things. And of course we can experience that pushing. The words themselves are quite graphic. Riddhaya grantiyahu is that there is a knot within the heart. And especially when we lose or risk losing those things that we're attached to, we can really feel at that time the real excessive nature of this knot within the heart, Riddhaya grantiyahu. So as the risk or as these increased jayato vishaya, as these increased vishayas come, in order to counterbalance their effect, one's spiritual practices need to be even stronger. That means that sadhana, morning program, chanting, japa, etc., if it's not stronger, and if it doesn't balance off the increased load that we as conditioned souls are accepting, then it pushes us in the opposite direction, the material energy, the burden of the attachments and the sense objects that we've taken up increases. And how do we know that we're losing balance? Because mama and aham, because this concept of I and mine, we see that it is playing on our mind, and we start thinking in those terms, we start making decisions in those terms, instead of seeing in terms of yukta vairagya and seeing everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, as belonging to Krishna. So often when this sort of concept or this discussion arises, then devotees ask, well, isn't there any love? Isn't there meant to be love in Krishna consciousness among husband and wife, among parents and children? And of course the answer is yes. But the question is not really, is there love just because something is yours, but is there love because something is Krishna's? Are you attached to your wife because she belongs to Krishna or because she belongs to you? There are so many other women in the world also. So Krishna consciousness means being able to love someone as the property of Krishna, not because I have this illusory identification that I've just picked up, that something belongs to me. This type of consciousness will only be possible when one really practices Krishna consciousness very strongly. And if one doesn't practice Krishna consciousness with such rigor, then certainly Hridaya Grantiyahu, then the knots in the heart, they will become stronger and stronger, and will think more and more in terms of I and mine, and that becomes the basis of our thinking in terms of how can I render service to this Vaishnav and Vaishnavi. Our terminology and so on may be very similar to that which is used by people in the world outside, just like people ask, what are you? Meaning, what's your occupation? Then we tell them whatever my occupation is. But obviously, we don't identify with that. When someone asks us what ashram we're in, we may say, I'm in the Brahmachari, Grihastha, whatever is sannyas ashram. But we don't identify with that. We identify as being Vaishnavas. So not only do we identify with ourselves, but we identify also with others. And that then is, in my estimation, the real question is, can we love that which belongs to Krishna? Or does something have to have the label that it belongs to me before I even love it? And then does that illusory attachment cause me to lose my perspective as a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi and become further entangled in the material world, in which case we cannot actually set the proper example that we're meant to set as Vaishnavas in terms of a properly constructed Varnashram community. So Varnashram is not going to depend on cow protection, not going to depend on living in farms, not going to depend on other things. It's going to depend upon the caliber and the quality of the people. And of course, this is our second step in terms of personal development, is relationships between men and women and the underlying foundation. Hare Krishna.